A is for Apple. A is also for antitrust. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. It is known as AI washing, false claims about a company's use of AI. We know, it feels like everybody's doing it, but the Securities and Exchange Commission this week is cracking down on the practice by fining two companies a total of $400,000. We'll have more on that in this week's installment of Marketplace Tech Bites Week in Review. Plus, persuasion or coercion, the Supreme Court hears arguments in yet another case having to do with online speech. Conservative attorneys general say the Biden administration coerced internet platforms to take down certain content. We'll hear why justices might actually side with the White House on this one. But first, the U.S. Department of Justice announced Thursday it is bringing antitrust charges against Apple. They accused the tech giant of exploiting its alleged iPhone monopoly. Reuters Breaking Views columnist Anita Ramaswamy joined me to explain.
Essentially, what they're alleging is that Apple has maintained an illegal monopoly over the smartphone market. I mean, iPhones are super popular, and there are a lot of different components to this. And they're arguing that this is causing harm for consumers, higher prices. Apple has a lot of restrictive terms in its Apple Store in terms of, you know, what third parties can do and how they can list apps. They take pretty high fees as commission for anyone listing apps and doing transactions on the App Store. And essentially, the lawsuit is just arguing that Apple has used these really complex contracts to maintain its market dominance, and that is harming users.
Yeah, and I want to read briefly something that Jonathan Cantor, this is the Assistant Attorney General for the Antitrust Division at the Department of Justice, something that he said in the press conference where we also saw Attorney General Merrick Garland on Thursday morning. He said Apple repeatedly responded to competitive threats by making it harder to leave and more attractive to stay. This is the walled garden, right, Anita?
Yeah, it's one of those funny things that I think, you know, almost everyone has interacted with, where if you are sending an iMessage on an Apple iPhone to someone else, it'll show up as blue. But then if you send it to an Android, it'll show up as green. And it was harder for multimedia content to be sent between an iPhone and Android. Apple sort of said they would fix that, but there's still this dual class system. And I think that's one of the quirks of how Apple works to maintain its dominance in the market.
Yeah. And Christopher Mims at The Wall Street Journal had a great piece about the walled garden back in January, talking about how the very thing that's made Apple so successful, this is a $3 trillion company, has now become its biggest liability. For years, we were so focused on Apple making money off of its hardware, but the selling of services is a really big part of this story now. The profit margin there for Apple is a lot higher than it is at this point on hardware. Also this week, Apple is in preliminary talks with Google about using Google's generative AI model Gemini in the next iPhone. You've been writing about this, Anita, and here again, all roads seem to lead to the DOJ antitrust division. Am I wrong?
No, you're totally right. It's really interesting because till now, Apple was one of the only major tech companies that the U.S. government still hadn't sued over some sort of antitrust allegations. I mean, Meta's had to deal with this. Alphabet's had to deal with this. Amazon has had to deal with this. And when I was writing about this potential partnership between Alphabet and Apple, my biggest question was, you know, will regulators even let this go through? Because it's two of the biggest tech companies out there teaming up. And it's sort of similar to what we've seen with earlier trials and hearings over whether Google and Apple collaborated to give Google search an advantage on iPhones.
Exactly. And Apple was not, sued in that case by the Department of Justice. But when it comes to online search, Apple is a huge part of that narrative, right? They are a big part of the equation for Google. That, of course, is the allegation anyway. You write that AI has the potential to flip the script in terms of this whole narrative, right? And all eyes, we should say, are on OpenAI when it comes to this story. We see the battle lines being drawn between Google and OpenAI, which has that huge investment from Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, AI could really change things. It's really interesting that Apple is such a big and successful tech company, but they haven't to this point released any major AI models while all the other big tech players have. So Apple and Alphabet already have this collaboration over Google search. They already have a partnership where Google search is the default search engine on Apple products. And now it just makes sense if Apple can't build their own AI model fast enough they might as well pair up with, you know, another company that they already have a good relationship with. The question is that, you know, legally sound? Is that going to hold up, especially because we've been seeing a lot more efforts from the Biden administration and antitrust regulators these days to crack down on big tech?
In a statement to Marketplace Tech, Apple said it will vigorously defend against this antitrust lawsuit, which they say, if successful, would hinder its ability to create the kind of technology people expect from it. You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Anita Ramaswamy, columnist at Reuters Breaking Views. Well, the Supreme Court heard arguments this week in a case called Murthy versus Missouri. This is our second story of the week. This case was brought by conservative state attorneys general. And the allegation is that the Biden administration coerced internet platforms to take down content that it deems as misinformation on everything from COVID vaccines to claims of election fraud. Anita, here again, we see the justices taking on this issue of online speech. They seem to be wading into this issue a lot lately, this topic of the government's authority over major tech platforms.
Yeah, this issue of free speech is such a fraught one. And, you know, there's been a spate of recent cases that the Supreme Court has considered, including two last month, that it's set to decide on soon. And all of these have to do with the same theme or topic, which is, do social media platforms essentially censor conservative viewpoints? For this case, the ruling is expected by the end of June. And it's super interesting because the other two cases that were heard last month were also in the same vein. Those were more about banning certain people from the platform. I mean, we all know that Donald Trump was banned from several social media platforms following the January 6th insurrection. And, you know, this case, Murthy versus Missouri, touches a little bit more on COVID and whether the Biden administration was within its rights to essentially try to persuade platforms to take down certain misinformation about COVID vaccines.
Right. And most of the accounts that I've read seem to suggest that the Supreme Court is likely to actually side with the Biden administration on this. Do we have a sense of why that is?
It's fascinating. That was one of the most interesting parts of the hearing for me, because it wasn't just the liberal judges that were siding with the Biden administration, seemingly. I mean, you have conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and she was sort of pushing the Louisiana Solicitor General who was arguing this case. And she was laying out a hypothetical for him. She basically said, look, if you and other members of the Louisiana state government were doxxed, for example, and all your information was published online and there were social media posts calling for harm against you, do you think it's appropriate for the FBI to contact the social media platforms and ask them to take down the posts? Because the posts could lead to harm. And the Solicitor General, you know, he started to argue, well, I'm a First Amendment purist, but Justice Barrett interrupted him and she asked a question that sort of suggested that the FBI makes those kinds of calls all the time. And, you know, it gave me the impression that she wasn't particularly favorable to the government's right to do that being curtailed.
Right. Well, the Supreme Court's ruling is expected by the end of June, so we will all stay tuned for that. On to our third and final story. The Securities and Exchange Commission fined two investment advisors for allegedly making false statements about their use of AI in their businesses. AI washing, Anita, is modeled, I guess, on greenwashing, where corporations make misleading statements or claims about their environmental sustainability. Really interesting stuff here. What are your thoughts?
I think this is just the beginning, Lily. You know, we heard Chairman Gensler talk about this for the first time really last December, like just a couple of months ago, where he was warning companies against making these misleading statements about how they're using AI. In addition to greenwashing, it kind of reminds me of what we saw with crypto, where there were a lot of celebrities and a lot of companies that were sort of advertising and promoting cryptocurrency products. And many of them did land in trouble with regulators over the exact phrasing and the terminology they used to market those products. So I just think companies are going to have to be very, very discerning in how they're defining AI.
Absolutely. And the two companies that we're talking about are not terribly well known. One is called Delphia. This is a robo investment advisory firm based in Toronto, and Global Predictions, which is based in San Francisco. Not a huge find, but it certainly does send a message, does it not?
It definitely does. And I think one of the big concerns with AI is the definition of the technology is pretty squishy. Like when people say AI, they could be talking about so many different things. It's really broad. All AI really is technology that lets a machine or a computer act like a human, but it could do that in really small, particular ways. So essentially these two companies, or at least this is what the SEC accused them of, were sort of saying, hey, we're using AI in this way. And they didn't actually have the underlying algorithms that they said they did.
That was Anita Ramaswamy of Reuters Breaking Views. You can find the full video of this episode on Marketplace Tech Bites Week in Review on our YouTube channel, Marketplace APM. And subscribe if you haven't already to watch us every Friday. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. Jesus Alvarado and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Lydia Ayano is our intern. Gary O'Keefe and Becca Weinman are our engineers. Daisy Palacios is our senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.